Thank you, Tim, and the team. Right, guys, tonight my goal is to revitalize your passion for God's Word. And tonight when you leave here, I want you to be challenged and I want you to be encouraged to take up and read with new vigor God's Word and have new trust and faith in the power of God's Word. Now, the title of my sermon is The Armory of God. So I want you to go to Hebrews 4, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read Hebrews 4. Lord, we are grateful to be in your presence tonight. The freedom that we have received in Christ Jesus is wonderful and amazing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Word. We pray that you will move amongst us tonight, Father, that we will have a taste of who you are, that you would open our eyes and our minds to understand and to see who you are and what you are all about. Oh, we glorify your name. There is no one like you, God. You alone are worthy to be praised. We marvel at the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the eternal God, the all-wise one, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 4, and we're going to read verse 12 and 13 in a moment. But I looked at the dictionary, and the definition for an armory is a place where weapons are kept, for those of you who didn't know what it means. Also, an array of resources available for a particular purpose. And that's what I want to talk about. The Word of God is an armory. I'm reading a book about Charles Hudson Spurgeon's last seminar conference that he held. And in this conference, one of the things he was preaching about is the armory, the Word of God, and the power of God's Word. And I was just, in my own life, challenged and amazed again. Now, Hebrews 14, 12 and 13, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, without the Word of God, I've got nothing to preach about. Without the Word of God, we would not be here, because nothing else is worth preaching about than the Word of God. You know, so many people go through life searching for truth, and often in the wrong places, in the wrong way, never satisfied. There's this show on DSTV that I record and watch when I have time. It's called The Curse of Oak Island. Anyone here have ever seen this? Just me. Thank you, Tim. Only the nerds among us. It's a terrible show. Don't waste your time. It's about these dudes that are trying to discover a treasure that supposedly was put there many years ago. And there's throughout probably for more than 100 years, people have been looking for this treasure. They've spent millions on this quest. They've spent years and years of their lives looking for this treasure. And every season, I think we're at season 4 now, every year I think this is it. You know, and they always keep you enticed, because then they find a little gold chain, and then they find a piece of wood or a coin, and you think maybe this is it. But looking at that, I thought, these guys put in a lot of effort. This is their life. The two guys, the two brothers that lead this quest, it's everything to them. When you talk about the Word of God and what it means to us, it's the treasure worth hunting. It's a treasure worth spending time and effort on. And for me, it's the anchor of my life. Without the Word of God, I would be nowhere and no one. So tonight I have two main points. The first is the great importance of God's Word. The great importance of God's Word. Why is God's Word so vital? Well, you've noticed in verse 12 starts with "for." And it always intrigues me when I see that word "for" anywhere in the Bible, because then I have to find out for what? What's going on here? And so I have to go back to verse 11 and read, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sword of disobedience." What is he talking about? I'm going to narrow it down. He's referring to Israel and the way they missed out on the promised land when they weren't willing to go in. When they said, "These guys are too big, we can't do it." When they were disobedient and didn't trust God. And so chapter 4 talks about the rest that we must go in, and that's salvation. And so if you want to get to heaven, this is what he's saying, you need the word of God. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to get to that place of rest, if you want to be victorious over this disobedience, for the word of God is living and active. Isn't that beautiful? That, again, underlining the importance of the word of God, and that we must realize tonight that without God's word, no one will see heaven. My dad worked in the mines for years, and he's got silicosis. It's a disease that really affects his lungs, and he struggles to breathe. And I don't know if you've ever seen someone just gasping for air when there's nothing. It's really, you don't want to see it. It's really frightening to see. And I remember a year or two ago, my dad was sick, and he had an episode, and we were there, and he was gasping for air. And he had to get oxygen. Without that oxygen, he would die. He needs that oxygen. We need God's word. We need it. It's not just something that we keep ourselves busy with. It has to be the focus of our lives. The true north. It helps us navigate through life. And sometimes very difficult challenges we face. Now God has revealed him to us. Isn't that great? God has revealed him to us. And so we have God's word in a powerful and complete way. He has revealed himself to us. We have God's word, not man's word, not Lucky's word, not John Piper's word, but God's word. That's amazing. Some folks are looking for extraordinary revelation and new light, and they've got different names for it. But we have the complete and authoritative word of God in our hands. Hedley was just telling me earlier about people training for pastors looking for a Bible, eh, Hedley? How many people have more than one Bible? How many have more than one Bible on your phone? Yes, okay. Yeah, it's easy. We spoiled with different, we were talking earlier about different translations, and Beast was happy to say that he loves the not inspired version, the NIV. And I was saying, no, I like the ESV, and that's fantastic. But different translations, we are spoiled. We have all the light we need. Everything you'll ever need to understand what life is all about is contained in the pages of this wonderful book. Many of you here tonight have tested it. Many of you here tonight have lived with the Word of God and have seen and experienced God's power at work and have seen the power of God in people's lives and how it changes and affects people. You can't replace the Bible, guys, with a YouTube video or with sermons from Desiring God or the Gospel Coalition or with good spiritual books. You can't replace the Bible with that. And I think a lot of people do that. I find a lot of people are listening to more sermons and maybe clips. Ask Pastor John. Yeah? But neglecting time with God's word. Allowing God to speak to you in a unique way. And so, the second point I want to make. is we have to look at the penetrating power of God's Word. God's Word is vital. We know it because it's God's Word. And just there, it should be enough because it's the Creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God has written to us, has revealed Himself to us. That should be important. But this Word of God is also has a penetrating power that is unbelievable. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow. It's living and active. The word active here is the same word we have for energy in our language. And it means that this word is not just something like a normal book we read, but that this book has power. It is a game changer. If you have the Word of God in your hands, the Spirit of God brings it alive. And what he's saying here in the second part, I mean, with the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, what is he trying to say? Well, he's just saying that the Word of God can go where nothing else can go. And not only go where nothing else can go, by God's power it can change what nothing else can change. The Word of God penetrates deeper than anything you've ever seen. I can testify about that. How many times have I read the Word of God and it just penetrates my heart, my soul. And God speaks to me. Because you know, if God is all wise and almighty and He knows all things because He's the sovereign God and He has given His Word and through that Word He speaks to me. In that moment, I was supposed to read that verse and everything in my life was supposed to happen. And now God uses that Word to speak into my life. Have you experienced that? On the right time, in the right place, God speaks to us through His Word. And the Bible is wonderful. There are many verses about the Bible. And some of that is, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Psalm 119 is a treasure. I mean, we're doing Psalm 119 in a family Bible hour here at Arcadia. And just verse upon verse about the wonder and the majesty and the beauty of the Word of God. Verse 105 says, "The word, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Verse 9 says, "How can the young man and any man and woman keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." Isaiah 48, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever." And I can go on and on. I promise you, I've got like a gazillion verses lined up about the wonder and the beauty of God's word. Now, I don't have time to do that, but I just want to remind you what the Bible says about the Bible and how important and vital it is. And the reason is because we need that penetrating power of God's word in our lives. Who here is praying for a family member to come to Christ? Many of us have people in our lives. And you know, we pray for them, it's wonderful. But we must pray that they get exposed to God's word. Because how will they know if no one preaches? And how would anyone preach without the word of God? We need God's word to penetrate the hearts of those who are unbelievers. Spurgeon says, "The word is equal to every emergency." Isn't that beautiful? The word is equal to every emergency. Man, there's nothing that can happen in your life that the word of God has nothing to say about. It's equal. We read that the word of God is part of the armor of God, né? And that we have the sword. Now, my boys and I watch a show called, we watch a lot of TV, it seems, tonight, Forged in Fire. Anybody watch Forged in Fire? So they make knives and swords. It's really a cool thing to watch. It has its drawbacks because the kids expect dad to do that. But that's another story. So in this story series, they make swords and knives and then they test them. You know, they take the sword and then they strike a piece of wood or a piece of bone or something ridiculous that no one will ever do. just to see if the sword will hold its edge. And then I cut something to see if it's still sharp. The Word of God always holds its edge. Always. It's always contemporary. It's always relevant. It never loses its edge. It was good enough when Paul was around. It was good enough when Spurgeon was around. Can I tell you, it's good enough today. The Word of God is as relevant today as it was the day it was written. Don't be fooled by people saying it's old-fashioned. It's out of, you know, tune with what we are dealing with today. You only have to read it to discover that that's wrong. You only have to read it to discover the power of God's Word. You know, I've been counseling people for many, many years. And you know what the secret is to being a good counselor? It's not to have psychological tricks up your sleeve and you try and psychologically influence people. It's using the Word of God to change people's life, to change people's behavior, to change the way people think. I tell you now, that's the secret. There's no great hoo-ha about techniques. You can keep people busy psychologically for months. You can help them for a little while, and it's great. But without the power of God, you are wasting your time, and it will not last. And it's wonderful for me to see in my sessions with people how the Word of God changes them. How the light goes on and hope returns, or they are convicted of sin. Spurgeon says the following: it's difficult when people suffer from a broken heart. Oh, the wondrous power in the Scriptures to create a soul of hope in the rips of despair. To create a soul of hope in the rips of despair. That's the power of God's Word. What are you struggling with tonight? What are you dealing with tonight? What are you facing tonight? I want to tell you that the Word of God is powerful enough to help, to guide, to advise. Don't find your hope in anything else. Yeah, it's great to ask godly counsel, but ask someone that you know is a man or woman of the Word, that you will receive godly counsel. Confidence in the Word is needed. Confidence in the Word is needed. The Word of God is applied by the Holy Spirit, and then it brings hope and it brings salvation in the darkest hour. Now, there's some books on the market that I Googled. Maybe you can put up that slide now. There's a few books that I saw. The Power of Now. Sounds very cool, eh? The Magic of Thinking Big. Next one, Don't Sweat the Small Things. And my favorite, Unlimited Power. You just want to feel it. That guy smiles. You just want to buy that book. He's no idea who these people are, and I'm not dishing these books, or maybe I am a little bit. But I want to tell you that these books mean nothing. Only the Word of God is able to change our lives and help us when we need it. Because, and this is the secret, because of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit takes this book, this wonderful book, and it just opens it. It opens it. And we understand, and it really speaks to us. And we should never forget, when we pick up the Bible, we must pray, Lord, speak to me. Lord, reveal yourself to me. And remember, when you are reading those verses, the Spirit of God that lives in us is helping us. He's speaking to us in that moment. You have confidence in God's Word? Because I find sometimes we don't have confidence in God's Word. You know, especially when we're dealing with unbelievers or a difficult situation, we're embarrassed to talk about the Bible because we don't really believe it'll do anything. Excuse me. But Confidence that the Word of God has strength to overcome and to deal with any situation that we are facing. Are you struggling with temptation? Are you struggling with a certain area of your life and temptation? You're just falling and falling and falling? Well, the Word of God is the answer for that. Just go read Psalm 119 and you'll see. Are you struggling to overcome fear? Fear of many things. Maybe something that is yet to happen, or something that's just, you know, happening in your life and it scares you, or maybe whatever that reason is, you're struggling with fear. You need the Word of God to overcome that. Satan's very sneaky. And I've seen how he tries to keep us away from God's Word. And many of us try and see how, you know, can we read a little bit of God's Word every day? And it shouldn't be the attitude of our hearts that to see how little we can read just to get by today and to soothe our conscience. And come on, guys, let's be real. Let's be real. Isn't that what happens sometimes? I just have to get 10 minutes in or 20 minutes in that I don't feel bad or guilty. And when I pray later on, I won't have to say, sorry, Lord, I know I should read more Bible, but I'm not doing it. And a lot of competition for God's Word. Series, Facebook, television, internet, family, work. A lot of competition. My friend, don't let these things distract you from what is really important. And spending time with God's Word. Can maybe add a little bit of laziness in there. Bit of laziness. Oh, most guys hate to read. Come on, men, let's talk to one another. They tell me, I don't like to read. Well, if you don't force yourself and get used to reading God's Word, you are the only one that will lose out, my brother. And I can tell you now, the more you read, the more you will read. Because discovering the truth of God's Word is an adventure that really thrills me. The Word of God produces authentic righteousness and holiness and lasting through fruit. Don't you want that? I'm sick of superficial Christianity where you just surface, on the surface, you just read enough to just, you know, I think God wants to go deeper. And that's the penetrating power of God's Word. When we read it, it's alive and active and it cuts. And that image, it cuts deep. Nothing can stop it. To the bone. It penetrates. It produces righteousness. Now we have a fireplace in our house. It's really fantastic. We're just moving to a new place. We've never had a fireplace like this. It's one of those that's closed, so you put wood in it, you close the door, and you just enjoy it. You're welcome to come visit me sometime, especially when it's cold. Now, our fireplace has a function, a setting, a regulator. If you put the regulator to the one side, the fire will be as hot as can be. There will be flames. It'll be just... You move it to the other end... It's still going to be simmering, but it won't be that hot. A lot of Christians need to realize that we need the Word of God, and we have to be hot. That thing needs to be set on hot, because the amount of oxygen that you let through is the difference. When it's on hot, you know, the valve is open. I don't know what you call that thing is open, and I have no idea how it works. Just move the thing. I'm not an engineer, I'm a pastor. And when I move that thingamajig, it's hot. Oxygen comes through. That's all I know. More oxygen comes through. And when you move it to the other side, less oxygen comes through. I want to tell you, if you don't have the Word of God as oxygen, your fireplace will dwindle. It'll be cold and you will wonder, why am I so cold? It's because you're lacking the Word of God. Exposure to the Word of God. The genuine thing, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, that we have to long for the God of the Bible for us to long for His Word. Have to start there. We long for God, therefore we long for His Word. Isn't that true? Have to be in love with God, in love with Jesus. And God has given us this word through inspiration. Now let me teach you a bit of theology. Many of you know there are two types of revelation. General revelation that we see in nature and our conscience, everywhere where we see the fingerprint of God. God is revealed. You cannot but look around and see God everywhere. But the Bible is what we call special revelation, where God has revealed Himself in a special and unique way. There's over 7,000 times in the Bible that you'll find the phrase, thus saith the Lord, or this is what God has said. Over 7,000 times. God is a speaking God. He's not a quiet God. Those moments when you are praying and you think that God is quiet, that God is not saying anything, you're wrong. God is a speaking God. He's speaking through His Word. Take His Word and read and hear the living God speak to you. Luke 24, if you want to go in your Bibles to Luke 24, verse 45. Luke 24. It's just this passage where Jesus appeared to His disciple after the resurrection. And it says, then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Just that phrase. I don't want you to read more, otherwise you can read at home. I know you. But isn't that wonderful, that phrase? He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. That's what the Spirit of God does. Opens our minds. You know, the other day I'm busy in my quiet time in Exodus. And I was reading in Exodus 22, and I think it's the end of the book, verse 25, round about there, where God has seen the struggle of His people. And right at the end, it says, and God knew. Now, for you, that might not mean anything, but to me in that moment, where I was going through a difficult time, and I read, God knew. God knew what was happening to His people. He was aware of it. It really penetrated my heart and encouraged me and reminded me again that God knows. God is aware. And it was as if God took His arms, put them around me and said, Lucky, I know. That's the power of God's Word. We've seen so many times that we've read the Bible and heard a sermon and something clicks in your mind and just God speaks to you. Jabu this morning, I thought, preached a wonderful sermon and was talking about, you know, those moments where you are seeing the glory of God and taking it in and how that affects your life. Anybody seen the movie National Treasure? I like that movie. I see a trend here, don't you? I like to find treasures and I like puzzles. In this movie, in one part of this movie, they have to find a key to unlock a word puzzle. And so there's this key and they need it. If they don't have these letters or numbers or whatever that might be, they won't be able to unlock this word puzzle. The Word of God is the key, guys, and if you do not have it, you will not be able to unlock the secrets of life. It's really the key to everything. Bible is the key to growth, but we must believe in it. Anybody can read the Bible, and it will, you know, without the Spirit of God and without our faith in it, it means nothing. We have to believe it. Let the truth of Scriptures become the driving force in your life. Let it direct your thoughts and your actions. Now, in verse 12, right at the end, it says, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Some translations translate that to judging. But what it's actually saying here is that when we read the Bible, it's not a judging in the sense of, wow, you're horrible, you're a horrible human being, you deserve all that's happening to you, you're terrible. What I think it means is that God helps us. It identifies things in your life that we must improve and believe in more. So it's an evaluation of what I believe. And that's why this next part is also added. And no creature in verse 13 is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We'll have to give an account. You have to connect verse 11's obedience and disobedience to verse 13, give an account. And guys, everybody had a dream when you dream you're naked somewhere and you wake up like terrified. Don't lie to me, Nels, I know. Well, maybe it's just me. But it's a terrible thought to be exposed and naked and there's nothing and nowhere to hide. That's what will happen one day when we die. We will stand before the living God who can see beyond what we think people don't see now. And everything will be exposed. And that should motivate us, guys, to take up God's word and make sure that we stay away from those acts of disobedience. Well, I was in a shop the other day and they had this display or this poster in the shop that I thought was fascinating. It said, you say and God says. And so some of the things it says, you say, I can't figure it out. God says, I will direct your steps. Proverbs 3:5-6. You say, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. Matthew 11. You say, it's impossible. God says, all things are possible. And so on. It goes on. And I thought, yeah, that's wonderful. And sometimes we must remember that what our thoughts is not God's thoughts. And the way we believe is not often what the Bible teaches. And that's the beauty of the Bible. It corrects what we believe. It corrects what is truth. Sometimes I don't know what's true anymore in life, you know. I don't know what you can believe anymore. If you look at the politicians, who knows who's telling the truth? Is it Patricia DeLille or is it the DA? I don't know. Everybody seems to be lying. But one thing you can bank on is the truth of God's word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What did you have for supper on the 13th of March? Anybody remember? No one remembers, right? If you remember, you're weird. But yet you are sustained by what you had. You've had lots of meals in this past year. You can't remember all of them, but you were sustained. And guys, in the same way, when we're busy with God's word, you can't always remember what you read a year ago, a month ago, but it sustains us. And it's wonderful. I've got a last slide to show you. So, anybody know, in case of emergency, that's a fire extinguisher. I hope never to use that. Kind of some side of me wants to use it. It looks like fun to break the glass. In case of emergency, you break the glass. But some of us live like that. For some of us, that's the reality. We only go to the Word of God when there's a crisis. In case of emergency. And then we grab the Word of God and we frantically look for verses to just give us an answer or hope or something. I think God wants us to read the Word of God daily. My sheep know my voice. That's because we know His Word. We know what God is like because we have the Bible. We can read it and have God speak to us. Oh, we were Brian Saturday evening. It was fantastic. And afterwards, we went somewhere. And I thought to myself, people are going to smell that I've been Brian. Have you had that happen to you? You smell someone and you know they've been brying and you're jealous. Or I hate garlic. I hate garlic. And sometimes people speak to me and I smell the garlic and it's, oh man. I didn't have to be there to know that they ate garlic. It's evident. You didn't have to know that I was brying when you smelt my clothes. You knew this guy was brying. I think that's how it should be like, that we spend time in God's Word, that it's just people know. We know that we have been saturated by the Word of God, and it's changed my life. So guys, in closing, read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, let it change your life, live according to its principles, and you will have the key to life itself. Amen. Father, we just thank you for revelation. We thank you that you are indeed a speaking God. We thank you that your word is alive, and when we read it, your spirit moves and causes us to understand and to see things that we would never see without him. We pray, Lord, that even in this moment tonight, that the people here gathered here, Lord, that you'll open our minds and our eyes, that when we read your word, we will have a sense of God speaking to us, that we will know what your will is for our lives, Lord, and that we will gladly sacrifice our own lives to follow your word and your will. Oh Lord, we pray that your word will just remain prominent in churches today. Lord, we know there are so many people that are challenging the inerrancy of scriptures and the authority of scriptures. Help us, Lord, to hold on to your word and not to waver, and to believe that the word of God is a power that can penetrate the hearts of men, women, and children and change everything about us for the glory of your name. Lord, make us more like Jesus, we pray tonight. Hear the prayers of your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.